In sports, the tape never tells the whole story. Hiring is no different. AI can make candidates look like an MVP on paper, so knowing the person and the skills behind the resume really matters. That's where Robert Half changes the game. Our recruiters combine their expertise with award-winning AI to evaluate skills and fit quickly. Learn how we can find you specialized talent in finance, accounting, technology, and more. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
Hey, before we jump back into the show, let's take a quick break. But not just any break. This is a refreshing break with Snapple. We all know about Snapple's iconic Real Facts, so let's take a minute to go over some of my faves. Snapple Real Fact 1983. The first player drafted to play pro football never played in the league. Snapple Real Fact 1119. The Grand Canyon could hold about 900 trillion footballs. Snapple Real Fact 2064. The first college football game broadcast on TV was on September 30th, 1939. Snapple Real Fact 1896. The tradition of playing football on Thanksgiving originated with college football in 1876. So grab a Snapple, take a second, and enjoy the moment, because let's be honest, this might be the most refreshing part of your day. Snapple, make your break more interesting. All right, now let's get back to the show. Right now on FFT Express, training camp questions that we want answered. Let's do it. All right, Jamie, let's answer some questions, or ask some questions, I guess. What do you want to answer?
I'll leave it up to you. You pick the division. I'll give you a team. We'll have some fun with this.
Okay. The NFC West.
Oh, that's a good one to start, because there's a lot of questions. We could talk about 49ers receivers. We could talk about Cardinals offense. But I think the most interesting training camp question is the Seattle backfield. So let's go there with what's most likely to be no Zach Charbonnet coming off the ACL tear that he suffered in the divisional round against the 49ers. So we have Jadarian Price, who they drafted in round one, George Halani, who's gotten some positive reviews this offseason, and Emmanuel Wilson. So what I'm looking forward to seeing is who is going to be the lead running back in the majority of the drills, who's going to get the most positive reports. I hope what we don't get is they all look good and it's going to be a committee backfield. I hope what we see is Jadarian Price doing everything that they ask him to do, and one of the other two guys, which at this point is probably Halani, as the number two running back. But let's get some great Jadarian Price news in training camp.
So Jadarian Price was the last pick of the first round. Some other players who were drafted in the first round in that range, let's say 27th or later: Rashad Penny, Sony Michel, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's about it. A little bit earlier than that, you had guys like Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, 24th and 25th overall. But I guess my point would be, just because he was a first-round pick doesn't mean he's going to be great, especially 32nd overall. And that would be true for any position, not just the running back position. All right, you want another division?
Yes.
The AFC South.
The AFC South. Okay, so we spent a lot of time talking about Nico Collins and the receiving core there. Colts, we kind of, I think, is more injury related, but that's a fun one. Maybe we'll circle back to that. The Jaguars receivers, though, I think is where we have to go, because, and backfield. I mean, Jacksonville, I think, is really the entire focal point of what the division could potentially be, or at least the most fun story in the division from a training camp perspective. So we got a lot of positive reports out of minicamp about how great Brian Thomas looked, how great Parker Washington looked, and there was no Chris Rodriguez to really give us the backfield competition. So we have two pretty big spots to keep an eye on there. So I think in the case of the wide receivers, you want to see sort of a pecking order, I think, right? Of Brian Thomas and Parker Washington, or Parker Washington and Jacoby Myers, or Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter. Like, how are they going to use all four of these guys, and really how much is Hunter going to play on offense? Because if we get sort of the bounce back of Brian Thomas, then we could be talking about a guy that is worth drafting, I would say, as early as round six. For Parker Washington, he's going to go in a similar range, and some people like Washington better than Thomas. I get it, because of the way that he finished the season last year. Let's not forget about Jacoby Myers and what his resume is, which is better than both those guys, at least from a career perspective. And then, you know, Travis Hunter, you've heard me say it time and time again, I don't think he's going to be a significant factor that's enough to ruin the other three guys. However, the Jaguars have to justify why they took him at number two overall and made the trade to go up to get him 2 years ago. So they will probably try to fit him on offense in certain spots, whatever that means. And hopefully we find out as well as his health. So that's the receiving core. And then the backfield, is it going to be Bashaul Tuten as the lead running back? Is Chris Rodriguez going to still get an opportunity to maybe work on first and second down? It's really fascinating to see, because I think if Tuten is the guy, because I think a lot of people want to see him be the guy, then he's going to be somebody that you can take in round five and really good, could be a borderline number two running back, a very good hero or zero RB target if you go that route.
Yeah, the one storyline that I keep seeing and I don't really want to see is that Brian Thomas Jr. is this downfield guy for Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, six rounds, fine. I don't think he can get back to being amazing if he's just going to be a field stretcher. Not just going to be a field stretcher, but primarily be a field stretcher. I don't want to see that, and I keep seeing it. But man, at least for Trevor Lawrence, you know, you can nitpick about the wide receivers all you want, but for Trevor Lawrence, it looks like a pretty good setup going into this year.
My two favorite quarterback targets, putting aside the top tier guys, Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence. Like, I want one of those two guys if I can.
Okay. All right, let's take a break and get a couple more training camp questions that we want answered after this.
Support for today's episode comes from Square, and they've got big news. During Square's biannual releases event, they launched a wave of innovative new tools to help local businesses run faster, smarter, and more profitably. I recently visited my favorite coffee shop down the street and noticed they use Square. Checkout was incredibly quick. I got a text receipt in seconds, and everything just felt smooth and modern. Now, with their brand new Square AI feature, you can get instant answers to your toughest business questions right from your dashboard, helping you spot trends and make confident decisions fast. Square launched its most powerful tools yet, designed to give local businesses a competitive edge without the complexity. If you're ready to sell smarter, run faster, and stress less, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/FFT. That's square.com/go/FFT. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
Are you ready for another division?
Yes.
The AFC West.
AFC West. Okay. So we talked a lot about the Raiders in the last couple of days with Genty and Bowers. We talked a lot about the Chiefs today with Rashee Rice and Ken Walker. So we have the Broncos and we have the Chargers left. I think we've talked a lot about the Chargers. Let's go to the Broncos. So I want to see if we get an answer on the, it's very similar to Jacksonville, the backfield, because, you know, you bring in Jonah Coleman. RJ Harvey was very good for fantasy managers last year, but obviously was not a great rusher, especially early in the season when J.K. Dobbins was healthy. And will Dobbins be healthy, and just what the role will be with the three guys there? And then just in terms of the top two pass catchers, like, how much is Bo Nix, his health also is worth watching, but how much is Bo Nix going to lean on maybe more so Jalen Waddle than Cortland Sutton, or will Cortland Sutton continue to be a focal point? So that's something that we're going to get a lot of, you know, despite the addition of Jalen Waddle, Cortland Sutton still leading the team in targets, and, you know, are still the guy that Bo Nix is featuring. He's featuring him in red zone opportunities, blah, blah, blah. So that's something I think you want to keep an eye on as well.
Okay, ready for our last one?
Yes.
Let's get dramatic. Oh, is this music? I thought it was different music. Okay. Our last division, folks, is... the NFC East, of course. Last but not least.
All right, so where do we go with the NFC East? We know what Dallas is. There's no real storylines there. I think we know what Philly is, aside from maybe that's an interesting one. Maybe we'll circle back to that with the receiving core.
Yeah.
Washington, we'll probably have to wait and see if they add Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, you know where this is going. You know where this is going.
But we got to go to the Giants.
It was inevitable. Let's get there.
We got to go to the Giants. I mean, look, they have an injury story, maybe two, that could sway drafts in a major way. You know, so the first one is Malik Nabers. Like, if he shows up and no PUP list, he's 100% good to go. Like, he's going to jump from maybe a round 3-4 pick to maybe a round 1-2 pick. You know, so it could be that significant. I would not take him in round 1, but I could see round 2, end of round 2, you know, in the range of guys that we've spent a lot of time talking about, Nico Collins, AJ Brown, Rashee Rice, Drake London, like, you know, depending on where those guys go from a consensus ranking perspective or an ADP perspective, like, Malik Nabers could swing a lot of drafts. And then Cam Scadaboo, you know, seems like he's fine, you know, certainly in comparison to Nabers. But is Scadaboo worth taking as early as round 3? I think he should be drafted in round four. How much is Isaiah Likely, you know, becoming a focal point if Neighbors is hurt? Who's stepping up in the receiving core? Like, there's so many questions for the Giants, you know. So I think that's the one that you want to look at and focus on the most from the NFC East.
Yeah,
of course. And, you know, it's not like we'll talk about it because we never talk Giants.
I feel like we haven't talked about the Giants in a while. But to tie in the Giants to the show we just did about players 19 through 24 in the consensus rankings, even if he is healthy, he is good to go for week one, you can just assume I won't have Malik Neighbors on my team because I won't take him ahead of McBride or Bowers. I won't take him till the third. Yep.
So for me, like, I don't have it memorized exactly, but it goes Bowers 24, McBride 25, and then I think it's Josh Jacobs is right there, Kyren Williams right there. Chris Olave is the next receiver, though, or T. Higgins, Chris Olave. That's probably where I put Neighbors if there's no issues whatsoever. So yeah. Still got to be concerned about the injury, but early round three would be where I have him. Right now I have him late round three, so it wouldn't be like a huge, huge leap, but... obviously, we'd like to see a healthy Malik Neighbors at this point because he'd still be a big difference maker.
We would love to see that. All right. Thank you for listening and watching, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you Monday on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Podcasts.